Either way, we'll, you know, probably take a couple of, if we need to tack another half hour onto a shear or two just to get through it, we will. Okay, last time we read the Shaklavatarya and basically identified three or four basic, again, we'll put together a list, I'm not going to do it today since we're in a bit of a hurry. We'll put together some of the features which we want to explore more fully. So the first one, basically several things, right? One is the Gemara's apparent interest that we introduce the... What's going on? The projector? The Gemara's interest that we introduce Bilas Mitzvah and the Chuppah during the Aninos and not during the Avelos. The implication seemingly being, we'll have to see whether we assess this according to different Rishonim, that in this regard, at least, the Aninos is more flexible or more makil. Maybe there's no problem whatsoever. Whereas the had it been during the Avelos, that would have been a problem. We, again, might reassess that. Maybe there's some other reason, particularly according to the Ramban, as we'll see. But that's the initial impression that we get. That impression is something which is striking a little bit because... and this is a part of our bigger question, Anino seems to be more chamor min haTorah, certainly, than Avelos. I mean, it seems to be clear that it's a Doraisa institution, whereas Avelos, Doraisa status is questionable. Moreover, you know, there are certain well-known limitations during Aninos that don't even apply to Avelos. And if we were thinking about a straightforward linear hierarchy, we would have thought that Aninos would be more machmir than Avelos, consequently, both in terms of Doraisa and Rabbanan and in terms of the Nihugim. And consequently, this idea that we want to rush before Avelos, want to get it in before the Kura, which triggers the Avelos, is an issue, is a problem. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two is the issue of Dvarim Shebetzina that take place, thank you, when we don't have a full-fledged we don't have the full-fledged Nihugei Avelos. That's what happens especially for Tashmish Hamita purposes, but other Dvarim Shebetzina as well, during Yom Tov, during Shabbos, and during Shiva Simei HaMishta. And is Shiva Simei HaMishta more comparable to Shabbos or to Yom Tov if there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? We'll sum that up again as we go forward, but that's a second issue that we identified in the Sugya. Okay, the third issue is the issue of Ba'apa Neho Gavelusa, which is an interesting idea to talk about very quickly. The fourth issue is the Maskana of the Gemara, where the Gemara seems to say that, or the Gemara seems to have two deos, or Shaklavatarya, whether or not the case of Chasan Abel, where we delay the Avelus, right, in order to... get in the Chuppah, the Bilas Mitzvah, and the Shivas Me'amishta, whether that's considered to be a Kula in the Avelos or not, since technically the Bilas Mitzvah and the Chuppah take place before the Kvura. So does that mean that this is nothing to do, doesn't reflect whatsoever on the Avelos, since technically it's post Avelos? Or not. And that's what the Gemara seems to initially to have thought, that the special Isur, if there's a special din of Yichud in Chasan Avel, special Isur Yichud, notwithstanding the fact that there was already a Bilas Mitzvah, that that's because, you know, we're worried about Zilzul because there's already a huge Kula. And then the Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? There's no Kula here. This was done pre-Kavura. So those are the four issues, and of course the other issue which looms large in the whole sugya is the clash that's you know, taking place in the convergence here between Chasan and Avel. But Shiva Simei HaMishta and Shiva Simei HaAvelos, what would have happened if Ipka Lo, and etc. What's Doraisa, what's Drabanan in these clashes? Is it an Aseh, is it an Alav? All the issues that come up in the Rishonim, that we, these are the issues that we want to identify. Okay, so let's begin with the question of Avelos and Aninos. and try to make some headway on that. And again, if we don't get to some of the specific Lashon notes here today, we'll try to fill that in during the next year. But at least let's just get to some of the perspectives on the sugya. At least the three basic perspectives on the sugya: the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Ritva, and then we'll fill in some of the Lashon notes and details later on. Okay. So it seems on the surface like we have Bilas Mitzvah and Chuppah Bizman Ha'aninus rather than Avelus, as we discussed, in order to accomplish all of this. Does the implication emerge from here that had we already been involved Bizman Ha'Avelus, that there would have been nothing to do? In other words, if the Avelus had already started, then we'd have to be Docha the chuppah and the bilas mitzvah, notwithstanding the financial loss, etc. That seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara, and we'll see if anybody veers from that. So the question is, what's going on here? And we should just talk a little bit about the relationship between Aninus and Avelus in order to understand this. So again, we know that there are two stages in the loss of a relative. Like one is Aninus and the other is Avelus, and the question is to assess them. So we would have thought, if we didn't have any information, and if we weren't already well schooled in the fact that the halacha is unpredictable, because it's usually wiser than our simplistic anticipation, we would have thought that there would be a simple hierarchy, and that would be Aninus, the way to Avelus, right? The most intense period of loss, to use the expression of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, the Acharisa ki Yomar, and it's obvious to us also in terms of the experience as well, is that the loss itself is the pitch, that's the height of Tsar. And acharisa ki yomar, that's when you feel the bitterness and the irrevocable loss at its most acute. And therefore, one would have thought that the expressions of Avelus, whether it's Isurim or Kiyumim, we'll get to that too, are going to be most forceful at that point in time. And then, as time goes on, the reality sinks in, and also, man's natural proclivity, to easing his way back into real life, so the paralysis and the pain, dulls, and it's a big bracha that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us the koach of shikcha, or at least the koach, engage life after a terrible blow and a terrible loss, or the psychology of man that he's able to rebound, that he's able to cope. Is something which is mostly a bracha. We have to make sure not to exploit that bracha. In the non-Jewish world, in some cultures in particular, like, they're very quick to rebound, and it seems to us to be a little bit achzari. Bob wouldn't want us to, spend 1 minute, mourning him. We only want to celebrate his life, so we have this wake with, alcoholic beverages and all sorts of other things. So it could be that, it's hard to know what Bob really would have wanted, but that culture of, not even a second, we certainly, reject that. That's a violation of, both Kavod HaMeis and Kavod HaChayim. And the question is, though, how, there's this whole process, that starts from, the moment of being exposed to Misa and the Kriya, the Chimum that you're supposed to feel. Again, we're not going to do too much in the world of Aninus and Avelus right now, but obviously to study it microscopically is to study an important part of life and coping, and Halacha's view of psychology of man, and also the normative appropriate response to overcome even some natural psychological proclivities, and to go the other direction, when that is necessary, both in terms of, appreciating and waiting, before re-engaging life, as well as, the achzarius, called achzarius, when you're misabel, yoser midai, right? It's achzorius, you know, if you don't, if you're not misabel enough, and if you don't give the mace his due, and if you don't have, you know, proper hesped, even one that triggers tears, every loss should be an irrevocable, you know, feeling that the world will never be the same again, because, you know, nefesh achas, you know, is an olam male, and that's part of the psychology and halacha of, you know, pikuach nefesh, being dochet practically everything, except for the cases where spiritual quality of life, you know, militates against that. We talked about that a little bit in Yehari Goyavar. But pikuach nefesh, generally, v'chai bahem, is so powerful because we believe that life is precious, and that each individual is an irrevocable loss because he has his own personality and his own contribution to make and so on. But so this achzorius, if you don't give that its due, and at the same time, as I say, it's achzorius, same phrase, achzorius, if you're misabel yoser midai, because it shows that you're unhealthy. You know, there's a certain therapy and a therapeutic process in Amelus, and it also shows that you don't have enough constructive in your life or appreciation for the what the Rabbanu Shalom gives, for your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, your relationship to the other people who remain living. So it's just fascinating that both are forms of achzorius, and you need to re-engage, and that's what Aninus, Avelus, the different stages are all about. We have to be very careful about them. But one would have thought, or one could have thought, that this is just in a straight line, a straight, you know, linear progression. You know, going from the mar and the sense of paralysis in the beginning, right, and that easing up, you know, as you move along, you know, through the kavura and then the yom miso kavura and yom rishon, and then maybe the first 2 days and the first 3 days of bechi, and the, you know, 7 days, and then the 30 and the yud beis kodesh and the yearly yortzeits, etc. But what we encounter, at least in the norm level, is that it's more complicated than that. There are certain dinim, you know, that apply to aninus that don't apply to avelus, and which do seem to reflect a greater chomer, and which seem to be an indication that we're right about that initial, you know, shmua and the paralysis and the sense of irrevocable loss that it triggers, of the sadness, the deep, you know, sadness that it encourages. At the same time, there seem to be, and there are dine aninus, therefore, that don't go beyond that, beyond aninus. But we also seem to, you know, encounter the fact that there are certain dine avelus, right, which don't apply to aninus. And there are basically two, you know, approaches, broadly speaking, that one can take, you know, to that. One is to say that, you know, they should have and they would have, you know, and fundamentally, you know, we shouldn't make too much of it. It's just that, you know, the either the emotional state of aninus, namely its chumras, you know, make some of those inappropriate or undoable, or the pragmatic parts of aninus, you know, neutralize, you know, some obligations. Because it's also the Hagdar of Aninus is also Mishamei Sambut Alafal. We'll get to that in a second. Therefore, tangibly, there are certain requirements one needs to be involved in the arrangements of the Kvura, you know, on behalf of the base. And being oppressed with too many observances of the emotional, you know, sense of irrevocable loss, you know, would interfere too much with that. So while fundamentally, you know, this hierarchy of, you know, aninus, you know, being the height, and everything else, you know, being the concentric circles that are just like a step away and a dilution, emotionally and practically, you know, is interfered with by the consideration, the practical consideration of kavura sameis. We'll see this in just a couple of minutes. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that, and this I think is more accurate, well, again, there is certainly, we'll see tangible expressions of the first, is that, you know, the emotional adjustment and the mechaibin, the requirements of both kavod ames and the personal coping of the chai, the person who's left behind, right? It doesn't go in a linear way. And I think, you know, psychologists today know this too, very well. I mean, it's, you know, in one case it's one step forward and then two steps backwards, and it expresses itself differently in different, you know, aspects of it. The Ardafka, you know, sometimes the intense grief and the coping that triggers in the beginning, you know, makes certain other expressions either superfluous or counterproductive. And then Dafka, at a bit of a later stage, when you have, you know, more perspective, you know, the pain is just different and greater in other respects, and that is expressed in Avelis too. So instead of looking at, you know, the Yom Achrisa Ki Yomar, you know, only as the height, we could say it's the height for certain things, and that in itself, you know, kind of crowds out, not just because of the practicality of Kfuras Ameis. Although again, maybe the Kfuras Ameis is also symbolic and symptomatic, you know, of what one should be focusing on at that point, not just pragmatically, but also emotionally. Maybe those two aren't the stira either. But some of the expressions of Avelis that kick in at a bit of a later point, after the Kfura, you know, when certain things are more final. Again, being, you know, confronted with the mace itself is like a tremendously difficult emotional and halachic, you know, experience, or emotional experience and halachic challenge. Misha mace and buta lefana. And the finality of the Kvura and what it triggers is a different stage. You know, not only, you know, less or more, but just different. Right? Because at least until now, A, you've been involved in the Kvura, so you still, you know, feel like you're doing something for the mace. Moreover, there is at least a physical, you know, remnant, you know, that you can identify with and that you're still involved with. And that's not true anymore, you know, after the Kfura. There's a certain different kind of finality in the Kfura. So obviously one of the things that I'm going to be projecting is the idea that in addition to the hierarchy, which certainly is true, and, you know, which is attenuated somewhat, you know, by pragmatic things, like the Kfura, maybe what we're dealing with is different stages that reflect, you know, different stages of emotion and coping and, you know, re-emerging and confronting and so on. And we'll still see that the Rishonim debate, you know, what's appropriate for Aninus and what's appropriate for Avelis, but I'm trying to suggest a broader approach in terms of breaking down those categories. Okay, so having said that, and that's the general approach we're going to take. So let's you know, get into some, you know, details and specifics just to flesh out, you know, the stages and the perspectives. Okay. So again, in our sugya, as I say, had we taken what would have been anticipated, you know, linear hierarchy just of intensity, starting from, you know, the most, you know, and then moderating it going forward, so it would have surprised us to think that bol bilas mitzvah poresh, and you know, integrating the, you know, the chuppah would have been something that'd be more appropriate to do at the stage of Aninus than at the stage of Avelis, and yet that's exactly what we have, and we need to understand that. Right. And in a way, that's exactly what Tosas, we already read the Tosas on Dalet Amud Aleph, asks. Right? Tosas says, "Isn't Aninus Doraisa?" And you know, we could add, "And isn't it in some respects more chamur?" So isn't it surprising that you know, that we're more mekel as far as this halacha is concerned than Avelis is? That's the phenomenological reality that we're contending with. And Tosa says, interesting, you know, but we have this parallel of Atifas Arosh, you know, Kfiya Samita, Ne'ilas Hasandal. And we already pointed out that, you know, that isn't so simple. That isn't so simple either. Number one, if those things are purely pragmatic things, then they don't explain this, right? We'll soon see the Ramban. As if we take the view that in Achanami there should have been a prohibition of Kviyas Ameis and Atifas HaRosh and Nilas HaSandal, even in every Aninus, right? But you know, Misha Meis Amutal Afana, the Asik Bikvura, right? You know, misleads us into thinking you know, that these dinim don't apply. They really do apply, they just can't be implemented. Right? But things that can be implemented, like Tashma Shamita, which doesn't seem to... Tashma Shamita is not a kiyum, it's not something that's necessary for Tvura Sanes, obviously. So, you know, quoting those by Bali Tosas seems to indicate that Tosas is saying that those things aren't just purely, you know, pragmatic. That's number one. This is another point. I'm just repeating what I said the other day. The second point, which we also said the other day, was that it's one thing to say that Atifas Arosh, Tvias Amita, and Nila Sasandal, it's one thing to invoke them, you know, if you were talking about explaining that Tashmi Shamita has no role here whatsoever. Meaning, what you could say, especially if you don't take the more pragmatic explanation, is we see from here that this idea of a linear hierarchy that just moderates in time or attenuates, you know, is wrong, because it isn't the only time. It isn't the only time that Avelus is more chamor than Aninus. It is an example, you know, of that. So if you're talking about Tashma Shamita, which therefore we should conclude is never part of the scheme of Aninus, that would be fine. In other words, that would be fine for people like the Rambam, as we've discussed. We'll get to the Rambam in detail. But if we're to assume, and Pashtus of Tosis is, that we're talking about not a wholesale, you know, a rejection of the Iser of Tashma Shamita, but just the B'mokom, the counter-pressure of Chasson Avel, right? So then there's another interest, not a problem, but at least a hara to make, and that is, well, you know, it's one thing to say Atifas HaRosh, Nilas HaSandal, Tvia Samita, because they just don't apply. And Tashma Shamita, if it does apply, so then the idea that they're, that, you know, in circumstances of counter-pressure that we'd be Mechalek, that's already not inconsistent. Okay, but it's already an additional step to think about. Okay, so we'll get back to that, but that's where we are. Okay, so let's take just a little bit of a survey first of some of the differences between Aninus and Avelus, and just a little more of a perspective to try to figure out whether or not, again, this is all just more the same, you know, with technical differences, or even more in the state of Aninus with, you know, the technical adjustment, or whether or not we're dealing with two different stages in a more complex posture regarding the philosophy of, you know, coping with pain and coping with loss, etc. Okay, so regarding Aninus, let's start with that. What are some of the chumras of Aninus, would you say? Yakir, so what are some of the chumras of Aninus? Okay, we'll get to... No, that's... Well, those are some of the kulas of Aninus. Chumra meaning where we treat Aninus seemingly as being more imposing and limiting, right? The requirements of Aninus that don't seem to extend also to Avelus. Okay, so Achilas Basar Shtias Yayin, that's a sugya in Brachos. We'll get to that in a second. Right, that's there's no such prohibition in the context of Avelus, right? Again, I don't know whether people should be feasting rather, in the state of Avelus, you know, but there's certainly no prohibition of Shtias Yayin and Achilas Basar. So on the surface, those that belong on the list, and we're going to discuss them. Where are they discussed? In which sugya? In Brachos, in third parak of Brachos, Misha Mesam Buta Lefanav. So we're going to look at that, we're going to examine that Gemara in just a minute. But the idea that Aninus is more chamor, is more imposing, more limiting, right, would seem to be reinforced by Shtias Yayin and Achilas Basar. Those Daraisa or Drabanan, would you say? Based on Psukim, well, what's it... What does it seem like, anyway? So offhand seems like Dindrabana, right? There are no Makoros to Aser, Basar and Yayin. And we'll see what the scope of those dinam are as well. But those, that's one thing to look at in terms of the issues, right? It certainly gives the impression that Aninus is more chamor. We'll have to exaggerate whether that's so. But certainly that seems to be more on the Drabanan level. What else in that Sugin Brachos? Mm. Jonah? What else do we have? This will get brachos. What's that?
In
Mavarchin, excellent, meaning brachos and mitzvos. I'm sorry? Oh, that's a good question. It depends on your point of view. But certainly these are dinim that are unique to aninos. Okay, what do you mean by is it a chumra, Yakir?
Meaning it's not clear whether he's not allowed to.
Is he not allowed to, or he's not obligated to? Okay, and also what the nature of those halakas are. But let's just put it on the list for the moment. These are part of the institution of aninus, right? The fact that there are no brachos, there are no mitzvos, right? It's a very strange state to be in, very disturbing state to be in, and the question is to assess that. That's not true with regard to avelus. Avelus has one expression of limiting mitzvos. What's that, Itamar? What's the expression in Avelus of limiting mitzvos? Exactly. Based on?
Gemara and Dafe.
Yeah, which we have here. And the Sugya, Peralam Brachos, right? Sukkah? Pe'erecha chavush alecha. So pe'er, people don't really realize it anymore because... the way that the pattern of burials, especially in America, it very rarely happens, right? That the Yom Rishon, of Avelus, is during the day. Usually, you get the Yom Rishon, only at the end of the day, as they bury, mostly during the day in Chutzal. In Eretz Yisrael, they bury at night, but here they only bury during the day. So usually what happens is that you begin the Avelus, you can begin the Avelus, after the Kvura during the day, and that's Yom Rishon, right? So that by the time you hit the first morning, after the loss, it's usually already technically the second day, and then you don't have the expression of Pe'erecha Chavush Alecha. So people just oh really? There's a, like when they encounter the...
Tisha B'Av.
What?
Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, you do have it. Yeah, the parallel to Tisha B'Av. Very good. Correct. Anyways, so Pe'erecha Chavush Alecha, Tefillin is an example. The question is whether or not, well obviously it's a similar question to the question that Akir's asking. Akir's asking it a more technical question, and that is, it's Asur or it's not Mechuyev. We're going to get to in a second the question, which may be connected to that, and that is: these dinim are dinim in hilchos avelos, or dinim in hilchos mitzvos and brachos, and in the case of tefillin, in hilchos tefillin. Right? That's a separate question, but it's connected to the question. In other words, they reflect on aninus and avelos, or they reflect on the requirements. Pe'erecha chavush alecha. So tefillin has a status of pe'er. And that's inconsistent with Yom Rishon of Avelus. So obviously it says something about the state of Yom Rishon of Avelus, but is it more a din in Hilchos Tefillin or more a din in Hilchos Avelus? If you're the Rambam, where do you want to put this halacha? Well, Shulchan Aruch, especially the Rambam, who is more sensitive about, conceptually more sensitive about where he classifies things, what kind of din is this? Or is it a din in both? But okay. So that's brachos and mitzvos, basar and yayin. We're going to discuss these. Again, if we were doing, moed katan, we'd spend much more time and go into much more of the range of rishonim and farshim and nuance, but we're not going to. We're going to do a quick drive-by, but let's talk about these. These are the brachos parts of the sukkah, which we're going to read very quickly in a minute. What else, Yakir? Differentiating aninus and avelus. Well, tifas harosh, kvias amita, and ilas asandol. Everybody seems to agree do not apply to aninus, and they do apply to avelus. That's in the other direction, right? Where we have more limitations on the avel than on the onain, right? Tashmish shamita is partly our topic, so we're going to discuss that soon, right? But even before you get to that, in terms of aninus being more limited. Right, and ways which are d'oraisa, We just don't, they're a little more far removed, but we mentioned it the other day. Akir? Udaria? Yeah, in the Kodshim area. Right, in terms of Achilas Kodshim, Achilas Mais Hashem, Lo Achalti Ba'omi, right, Mimenu, right? L'nasati L'meis, that Achila Baninus, and Achilas Kodshim in general is connected to that, right? And Avoda Al Yedei Kohen Hedyot Onein, as opposed to Kohen Gadol, which is part of the story of Min HaMikdash, right, Lo Yetze. And of course, this is all part of the story, and the close reading required. We're not going to do any of this part of it now. See, you're saying, why not? We should. I'd love to. But the sugya in Zvachim, right, about what the exact story was with, you know, the death of who?
Nadav
and Avihu b'nei Aaron, and what exactly was appropriate, you know, to continue to do during the Yimei HaMiluim, right, for, you know, for Elazar and Itamar, and for Aaron himself. So they did a Minamikdash L'Yetzei for the Kohen Gadol, but what about, you know, the Achilas HaKadshim, what about, you know, the special Korbanos of Miluim, so the whole Sugya in Zvachim, and then the Rishonim, and the Ramban HaTorah, and so on and so forth. They're like a very interesting the Rambam and Raited, you know, discuss this question in Hospias Mikdash. This is like a major issue, both for that you know, story, and in general what the din of Avodas a Kohen Hedjet and Kohen Gadol Vaninus is all about. But what we know is that Kachim Achilas Kachim and Maiser Sheni and Bial Mikdash, right, for and Avoda Psula Voda, is Doraisa, Baninos, and these dinim do not apply to an Avel. There is a din in Avelus of Shiluach, Shiva Simei Avelus, seemingly that there's a prohibition of Shiluach Korbanosa. Okay. But that's different, obviously, than what we're talking about in terms of Aninos. So that requires, that certainly seems to indicate that Aninos is a stage which is more intense. The expression Vacharisa Kiyom Mar, right, refers mostly to Aninos, although, and the Rambam, although it's fascinating to note, and we'll talk about this a little bit as well, what's fascinating to note, Jonathan? I said the expression Vacharisa Kiyom Mar is mentioned with regard to Aninos, and it has certain halachic consequences also to distinguish between Aninos and Avelos. Which consequence, Ellie? First, I thought Ellie wasn't here today because when I came in, there was no singing. But he came a little late. Or you just
what was mentioned? I was rehearsing tunes in my head.
I know. This is also part of the. It's part of the same thing. I'm saying what halach the acharisa ki yomar, the idea of is the basis also for the idea of aninos belay in aninos ela belay. Right, that's the basis of a halacha in Sanhedrin. That what? Anybody, you know?
You can do aninut for Haruge Beitin?
Yeah, Haruge Bezdin. This is the Mishnah and the discussion in the Gemara. Right, and Mem Chesam Beis in Sanhedrin. But Haruge Bezdin, even though there's no Avelus for Haruge Bezdin, there is aninus for Haruge Bezdin. And the Gemara says, because ein aninus, ella. Ella Belay. And the Rambam paskins this way. Somebody have it open? In Hilchos Avel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Tes. I have it. Kol Aruge Malchus, Afapisha Bedin, Amelech Nergu, Batoran Nosnalo Rishus Vahargan, Areela Misabla Malay, and Vein Monimev Kol Davar. So this idea of ein aninus ela belev, and therefore there's aninus for haruge bezdin, even though there's no avelus, is a very important chiluk, and based on that sugya, in In Sanhedrin Memches, Amud Beis.
Okay,
so that's another important difference. But what I asked Jonathan was, and then Ellie was, that nonetheless, even though Acharisa Ki Omar, this idea of Ein Aninus El Abelev, even though we're distinguished between Aninus and Avelus, it should be noted that.
Of its use for Avelus.
By?
The Ramban.
Well, the Rambam, right? Did you say Ramban or Rambam? Okay, for the Ramban, it's not so surprising in a way, because as we'll see, the Ramban, we'll see whether this is accurate or not, but at least initially, it seems like the Ramban has a much more flexible view of Aninus and Avelus, right, under the overlap. But as we already know, and we'll discuss more fully, for the Rambam, where it seems to be more... the divisions seem to be more substantial, right, and unambiguous. So it's just interesting to note that Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, right? What does the Rambam say? This is Haselis Abel al Krovin, Shemar Vechalti Chatas Hayom Hayitav Beinei Hashem. What pasuk is that?
Just
what?
It's from the story of Nadav and Avihu.
It's the story of Nadav and Avihu. Is it Avelus or is it Aninus?
Well, it's after Moshe Rabbeinu instructs him with like all these things from which we learn Nihuge Avelut, and after they've been taken out of the Machaneh.
Right, but basically it's the discussion of Avodah Baninus, right? That this pasuk, that's what he's saying. Hayita Bene Hashem, Bachal Bichata Sayam. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu criticizes Aaron, right? And Aaron says, "Did you want me to do that, Baninus? The Achilas, a korban? Again, what exactly? The scope of each thing is what yes, what not. That's part of the debate among the Rishonim. But this is an Aninus halacha. Then the Rambam adds, "Ve'ena Avelus min haTorah, ela biyom rishon bilvad, shehu yom hamisa v'yom akvura. Al shar shiva ena din Torah." He has Afi Shenemar, Batorah Vayas Aviv Evel Shivas Yomim, Nitna Torah Vinizkad Shalacha, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun Yisrael Shivas Me Avelus, Shivas Me Hamishta. Then in Halacha Beis, Ram says, Meimus Hayizchayev Adam De Evel, or Ba'avel, Mishi Yistam Agolel, Abu Kozman Shanik Barameis, Eno Asur Bedavar Minadorm Shaval Asur Bahen, Bibne Tamze, Rochat Zdavar Amalek, the Sach, Kishemes Hayeled, Kodem Shei Kaver. So basically, what's interesting about the Rambam, and the Nosa Kalim pointed out, is that he's quoting Aninus Psukim, right? Even though he's talking about Dine Avelus, and even though in the next halacha he's going to, project his view that Avelus Lechud and Aninus Lechud. Okay. So basically, just to sum up what we have so far, yeah.
Say
that again?
That as long as you could be Torah from the Tareach to be covered the base, then even Beregel, even potentially like start to do everything to Shabbos or Yom Tov, you might have to be knowing Galinos and not Abelus.
Beregel.
Yeah.
Again, because for the same reason as because Aninus is Aninus on the Belay.
More expensive than Avelus.
Possibly. So again, just to sum up, just looking at the institutions of Aninus and Avelus, so Achilas Kadshim, Maisa Sheni, Bialim Mikdash, Psula Voda, leaving aside Kohen Gadol, what yes and what not, and also the Miluim, what yes and what not, those are details. That's an area which basically differentiates Aninus from, structurally, from Avelus. And Avelus, what we do have is Shiluach, Karbonos, Shel Shiva, Kol Shiva is not done, but that's a far cry from the list of Aninus. Okay, that's number one. The question to ask here is, are these dinim in Aninus? Right? And again, we're not going to resolve this right now, but it's a questions to ask and topics to pursue in the future. Or are these dinim in Kadshim? Right, Avoda and Achilas kadshim, the demands that they require, that they have. Again, just to highlight it, you would, you know, quote these halachas and hilchas avelos v'aninos, or aninos v'avelos, or if you had to only quote them in one place, you'd quote them in hilchas bias mikdash and hilchas meiser sheni, etc. Okay, and again, there could be all sorts of real reasons, as we know, you know, why you quote them in one and not in the other. You know, cause especially in a code where there are, you know, a mix of pragmatic and, you know, conceptual, you know, considerations. But I'm using it just to highlight the point. These really have to do with aninos, mostly, and niuganinos, or they only have to do with the demands of kachim, maizusheni, psulavoda, etc. Anybody who is discussing the relationship between aninos and avelos, let's say, in nihuge avelos, like the Ramban and Rambam discussion, things like that, or kula v'chumra, and is quoting or invoking these dinim, these differences, is basically taking a stand on that issue and saying, oh, it's not just a din, at least, in inyanei kadshim, and what kadshim will abide, and what state of simcha or you know, preoccupation is appropriate for kadshim, but at least also, if not primarily, these are dinim and nihuge avelos, etc. There will be, of course, other nafgamina too. That's one. Two, the expression v'acharisa ki yomar or ein aninus ela b'lev, which is invoked, right, in regarding haruge bezdin. How do you understand that particular difference? Now here again you could say what Yakir said before, and that is this a kula or a chumra? When we say that the even haruge bezdin, right, are subject to aninus and not to avelos, is that because aninus is so chamur, you know, that aspect of the loss is something which will apply to any human being, even no matter what he did? Or maybe it's an expression of, maybe it highlights that it's an expression, aninus in particular, of loss of potential. Not only loss of this individual, but the loss of who he could have been, or what he could always have been. In which case, what you might say is, the chomer of that part of it is particularly appropriate, even the haruge, haruge bezdin. Avelos is a, you know, the loss of the person as he was, and you know what would have been the continuation or projected continuation, you know, based on his actual past. But aninus, you know, is a different kind of halacha entirely. So that, you know, celebrates or you know, suffers, let's say, who he might have been or he might have, how he might have changed, you know, to become a different kind of person. And therefore, that aspect of aninus, I think are basically three ways that you could look at this distinction. One is what I just said. The other is just in terms of pure intensity. You say, listen, the most intense form of avelus, the aninus part, you know, there we don't even discriminate, you know, based on who the person is. That's different from what I said a second ago, which is that on the contrary, there's something about, something particularly poignant about the aninus, you know, of somebody who had or could have changed, you know, his trajectory, had potential or could have changed his trajectory, and, you know, never got a chance, you know, to do that. And those are two perspectives. The third perspective is that this is not a chumrah or even a different dimension at all. It's just a recognition, let's say, you know, that aninus is an emotional response that you can't fully control, you know, or that we don't demand that you fully control. What we're saying is that haruge bezdin and the nihuge, the physical manifestations of avelus, you know, for somebody who's not deserving, you know, we demand that you cease and desist, you know, from that. You know, but we recognize, you know, the immediacy and the emotional component, you know, of aninus, ein aninus ela b'lev. So we're not going to tell you, listen, it was still your uncle, your father, your, you know, your brother, you know, et cetera. And there's a recognition that you shouldn't, again, not that halacha can't impose in the area of emotions. Again, we've discussed that topic in the past. The halacha can. but maybe it can't, you know, on a dime. You know, it can in Losachmod, and it can in V'Avta L'Reacha Kamocha, and it can in Losisnas Achicha B'Vonacha, because these are more long-term, you know, process-oriented things. But when somebody dies, before the Kavura, maybe there's a recognition that I would say can't, but that it's very difficult. But more likely, not a question of difficult and can't, but it doesn't need to, and it doesn't want to. It allows that expression of, of emotional spontaneity, of sadness. So, in aninus elabale. But then, again, it's not necessarily because it's more intense. It's because, again, it's of a different variety, and it can't or won't or doesn't need to. It's enough to express in avelus that this person's life, was not fully worth or wasn't worth celebrating. So the din of ein aninus ela b'lev acharisa ki yomar, etc. I think that there are three ways, to look at that. As for the sugyas, as far as kachim by sasheni, that we discussed, which is it primarily rooted in. As far as sugyas and brachos, there too, let's break it up into two components. So in terms of ptur mitzvos, once again, I think there are two questions to ask. One is, it's a din in the mitzvos, or it's a din in the aninus / avelus, just like we just asked about, the kodshim issues. Again, where would you, best, formulate these things? Right, in Hilchos Kriyashma, and in Hilchos Tfila, right, and in Hilchos, Brachos, and Hilchos Shmiras HaMitzvos. Because what we're saying is, and if you were to say this, then what you'd be saying is, just like the question of Avelos and Perecha Chavish Alecha, would you really prefer to put that, is that really better established in Hilchos Tfilin? What we're saying is that the level of religious consciousness, let's call it, necessary, to fulfill these mitzvos exclude avelos. Right. Now that could be for reasons of distraction, or maybe even more than distraction, more likely, not the level of concentration that you require, but the life-affirming, let's say, quality of mitzvos. And here, of course, you might be mechalek also between different mitzvos. Kriyashma, Tfila, both in terms of concentration, levels of concentration required. Mida lefnei Hashem of Tfila, Kabbal Zomach Shamayim of Kriyashma, right? And certainly the extent to which the performance of mitzvah, kihem chayenu v'orech yameinu, that kind of a thing is about, engaging life. Right? We don't consider the performance of mitzvahs to be an escape and a negation of life, chas v'shalom, right? We consider it the exact opposite. This is the agenda of what makes life in this world, worth living. And, the idea that tumah is connected with mace and is antithetical with performance of mitzvos, and that, on the contrary, the chai bahem is an internal factor, is all about this this idea. So you might have said, it's true that, an onain, is mufka mi mitzvos, or pater mi mitzvos. We'll see just that in just a second. But again, it has nothing to do, don't quote me that, when you're talking about a hierarchy of either pain or chiyuv of expression of loss. It's really just a function of the, life affirmation, quotient or level that is required in mitzvos. Again, it's also not a stira to say that there are two dinim. There's a Hilchos Avel halacha and a Hilchos Kriyashma halacha. Maybe we should count it, in both. Right. Or no, it's not, pragmatic, and it's not, driven by the requirements of the mitzvos themselves, either in terms of level of concentration or religious consciousness in a life affirmation, mode. But it's a din in an avelos. It's, it's insulting to the state of avelos or to the mace. Business as usual, going on, resuming your life and the an affirmation of life and a celebration of life. Maybe that, if mitzvos weren't kiyem chayenu, so then that wouldn't be an affront to the avelus. There are two dinim, right? Or primarily one halacha, hard to know. So with regard to that, per mitzvos, it seems that that is actually debate among the Rishon. Yeah. If we take the view, number one, that we're dealing with a p'tur rather than a hafka, right? So that would seem to point to this being more pragmatic, number one, or the ability to do both of these things, you know, properly. You know, not to distract, you know, from one, or to detract from the level of the other. And it's not to distract from the chiyuv kvura and the proper kavod hames that you need, or not to, you know, dip below the proper level of concentration in the performance of mitzvahs. But if that's up to you, if that's a p'tur, right, it points in that direction. If we're dealing with hafka, or it's something which is mufke, you're not allowed to do it, it's asur, so then the idea that it either flows from, you know, this embrace of life that is the performance of mitzvah, it's a very, very important perspective. Or, and, you know, it defies the norm requirement, the normative requirement of being, right, in a shakua be'evel, and not being able, you know, to simply resume life in a meaningful, or meaningfulness of life, you know, as usual, or both. So that should be more of a hafka. And then we would also want to look at two things. We'd want to look at the makor, like what is this based on, and whether or not that is telling here. I'm just setting this up. We're going to look at this in 30 more seconds, right? Or not. This is more of like an osik mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, you know, kind of a thing. Although osik mitzvah, pater min mitzvah also has two different opposite, in a way, perspectives, which we're going to get to. So we need to look at that. The more it's also involved in the more pragmatic level, in terms of kvura sames, right? So we also may be open to the question of actually being involved, right? If not everybody's involved on the same level with kvura sames, let's say somebody lives in, you know, Detroit, or, you know, the Ge'edim Zomer are always in Chicago, and the people who don't come for the kvura are always in Detroit. I'm not sure why, but that's the way it is. So if somebody's, you know, not coming in for the kvura, or they can't, or somebody else is being osek, you know, bikvura, does that make a difference in terms of any of these halachas? So again, if it's the tangible involvement, to make sure that it's being done and done properly, and done with the proper dignity, proper efficiency, then obviously asek bikvura becomes a critical aspect. Does that make a difference or not? I personally think, you know, that just to make things, not to for the sake of making them more complex, but I think that they might be, that, you know, asek bikvura may play a role even if it isn't purely pragmatic. Because in a way, it just brings home, you know, the aninus. You might say that an aninus, in which there's also asek, you know, bikvura, is one, you know, which qualitatively, the aninus elabalev part of it, you know, is heightened by that. So we should just be careful that, I would say, in the opposite direction, if we find that certain dini aninus are contingent upon actual asik bikvura, there seems to be two assumptions. One is that, well, let's say two assumptions. There seem to be, number one, you seem to be saying either that these are pragmatic halachos, right, or that the shame, asik b'meis, as a shiur in aninus, right, is something, you know, which also depends on actual involvement. Yeah.
For a kohen to become tameh,
yeah,
the Rambam says that's part of a
baby. Yeah, we're going to get to that.
It's part of the aninut before Skemet HaGolo.
Is that what you mean? Oh, you mean his actual involvement?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposed to, it's part of Avelut, but it takes place before Skemet HaGolo.
So that would be another issue, in a way, of whether the Rambam has such a hard and fast, clear cut, as people sometimes think, division between Aninus and Avelos, or whether there is, just like Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, But correct. And then, as we know, in Parallel, the Rama emphasizes that very much, right? The kiyum of Tumas Mace for a Kohen, as well as in Sefer Mitzvahs. So we'll get back to that, 100%. Okay. So let's look for a minute at the sugya in Yonatan, if you want to do the honors. Just to look at the Gemara and Brachos, just for a couple of minutes, we'll see where some of these issues get played out. Okay. You have the Mishnah there. Misha Meis Amut Lefanav. Go ahead.
Misha Meis Amut Lefanav. Father Nagriash Ram in a Tfilin. Tumana Tfilah in a Tfilin. Mekol Mitzvah Smurf B'Torah. No say Hamita V'Chalukah Hen. V'Chalukah Chalukah Hen. Et Shalfei Hamita V'Et Shalachar Hamita. Et Shalfei Hamita Torah B'Hen. Turin V'Et Shalachar Hamita Torah B'Hen.
Okay. That part is more the extended Oske B'Mitzvah or Tordei B'Mitzvah. But the main halacha that we want now, Misha Mesa Mutal Lefanav, which means basically what?
That someone is known.
An Onain, right?
Is Potter from a bunch of things.
Is Potter from Tfila, Tfilin, Kriya Shema, Kol Mitzvah Samuits, but also interesting the way that the Mishnah is written, right, from a literary point of view, right? And that is, you wonder, Yonatan?
Just say Kol Mitzvah.
You just could have said Kol Mitzvah. Amuris Patorah. So you wonder whether or not, you know, it's not just me, looking for complexity, but maybe what the Mishnah is hinting at is that, you know, maybe not all these dinim are the same, because we've been discussing, right, is this all, you know, pragmatic, tirdas, kvuras, ameis, right, in which case it should all be b'chadamachta, just one more second, or is it also a function, not the pragmatic, but of you know, asek or the level of aninus belave. That's number two. Or three, is it part of the requirements, right, of the applications? That's a din in kriyashma, it's a din in tefillah, it's a din in tefillin, it's a din in mitzvahs. So the fact that the Mishnah says potter mikriyashma, again, the context, we also don't want to be, you know, unfair. The context of Perek Gimel. This is the third parak of Brachos, right? So we know that the third parak of Brachos is still part of the Kriya Shema, part of Brachos, right? The fourth parak is the transition into, you know, Tefillah, and then the sixth parak is the transition into Birkas HaNenim, and so on and so forth. The seventh is Zimun, and then, you know, eighth and ninth is other, you know, Birkas HaRoah, Birkas HaNenim, etc. So, okay. But it's possible that that's why we have special, you know, emphasis on Potter Mikriya Shema and then Tefillah because it's coming up, and so on. But what I'm suggesting is maybe the Mishnah is saying, not just as a hierarchy, but, you know, Kriya Shema and Tefillah and Tefillin, because they have special levels of Kavana, that could also be an explanation, right? All three of these have levels of Kavana that are different. But maybe the idea also is that Kabbalah Sabach Shemayim and Yichud Hashem, tefillas, amida lefnei Hashem, tefillin, pe'ercha, chavu shalecha, right, the connection to the tzitz, you know, other, you know, parts of its higher level of kavana. The higher levels of kavana aren't just the problem directly, but there's something inconsistent about being, you know, wallowing in a state of misa and tuma, you know, and doing these things. Umikol mitzvos, v'amuros, hamuros b'tor. Yeah, yitzi, right? But they're only during the time. That's what the continuation of the Mishnah is. I mean, for them, and that's an interesting question too, because the question is this regular, but I don't want to get into that right now, although I think it's worth raising. And that is this just the regular din for them of Osek Mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, Tirdas Mitzvah, etc. And then, if you wanted to say that that's, you know, it's all one Mishnah, and that's kind of what's going on with the Onain too. Just that, with the Onain, there's a broader application of it because he has the Chiyuv. You know, therefore, for the, you know, no se amita b'chilufeim b'chilufei chilufeim, the lifne the lachra amita, it's much more, you know, pointed, and for the onain, you know, it's just, you know, instead of saying, oh, this minute yes, that minute no, you know, we just draw a circle around the whole thing. That's one perspective. The second perspective is, I'm glad you brought it up, is that even the oske hames, you know, it's more than just the regular din of osek mitzvah and Tirdas Mitzvah, and in a sense, they kind of become integrated into the concept of Onain to the extent that they're actually involved in Kvura Sameis. And again, you can't deny that there's some aspect of Osek and Tirda here, but the Osek and the Tirda is kind of a mechanism, that brings them in, to be in and davar zeh, they're mushka b'meis, and therefore it's not appropriate for them either, to have, these, expressions. Or the third option, which is, in adome the onain and the kovrim. The kovrim is pure tirda and asek, and the onain, it's not just that he has a kind of a wider application of the same thing, but he really has a different, or there are two dinim regarding that. That's one of the things to look at. As you could have said that in one case it's a ptur, and in the other case it's an iser, and so on. So this is a big issue in the Rishonim, and it's definitely relevant, to our question, to our topic. Okay, so Rashi here says, just to fill out, to flesh it out, on the first line in the Mishnah, Misha Meso Pater Mikros Kriya Shema, what is Rashi saying? So here, what impression do you get?
That it's Torah because of Tirda B'mitzvah,
Nothing to do with, it's not a special din in Aninus, and it's, again, to use Yitzi's perspective for the moment, right? The other Kovrim and the Onain, basically the same thing. Okay. Again, there might be some practical quantitative differences, but this is all like Chasan, who's Pater Mishum Tirda, Mishum Tirda the Mitzvah. So consistent with that in Rashi, at least, is later on when you get to Eina Mavarech, go ahead. Right, that's what Yakir was alluding to. And Rashi here doesn't think it's a hafkah either. He just think it's a ptur. So if it's a ptur, they name tzarech levarech. But if he can, then, he could. It's not a bracha lebatala. Maybe even he should. On the other hand, when it comes to eino mezamein, again, eino tzarech levarech birchas hamazon. Okay. On the other hand, Tosis, if you could read that for a moment. Patur mikriyashma already.
Patur mikriyashma, birsham yavarish taima, amar of bun, ksiv lamantis korbukule, ad
kol yamechayacha.
Yamim shata osik bechayim, lo yamim shata osik bemesim.
Yeah. So again, that is very intriguing. What does that really, really mean? You could say it's a gili milsa, and it just teaches you the din that, that there's a patur kriyashma. Right? Or that it's a shiur in the level of kabbana that's required in Kriya Shema, something of that sort. But certainly, it opens the option of saying what, Yonatan, what we were saying before,
that it's a din specific to avelus.
Meaning, it's that the interface of avelus and Kriya Shema,
not a regular tarid b'mitzvah.
Right, it's not like a tarid b'mitzvah. It's has to do with the life affirming nature of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which is fascinating, and how that doesn't work if you're shakua not the yamim shat osek b'chayim, but yamim shat osek b'nesim. So either are two dinim, or it's primarily a Kriya Shema halacha. And similarly, go ahead. What's the next point in Tosis? Yeah, not everybody had that gear. So, but again, this goes to the question that we, again, levels of kavana, those pe'er, amida lefnei Hashem, kavala samach l'shamayim, the embrace of chayim, etc., or something more. And different. Look at now Tosis Tiru Maskel ve'inu b'varech. Yeah, meaning you're not allowed to. Okay.
Not allowed to.
Keep going. Lama. Like, why not? I mean, the guy wants to do mitzvos. Nehechan matzinu davar kazeh. Right? If he thinks he can, because we don't trust him, that he can muster the right level of kavana. Right, or it's bizoyon a mace, or it's bizoyon or simply inconsistent with the requirements of those mitzvos, or both? Right, hard to pin down, but you could see both in the objective, the debate about the objective limits, right? You know, mutter, asur, and some of the psukim, etc. You can see that this is exactly the issues that are being alluded to. Yeah. Go ahead, keep going. So the first kvodo shalmeis sounds like it's a more objective halacha. Okay. Again, it seems rooted in the mace rather than in the application, although it could still be both, right? But certainly it is a... It's not like, you know, Rashi thinks, you know, that it's... Rashi's more optimistic in the capacity of people, like, to handle this, you know, multiple... You know, he can be, you know, in the world of mitzvos and the world of avelos and not cheat either at the same time, and the Yerushalmi saying, no, you know, people can't do that. They're not so good at compartmentalizing. Something's got to give here. That's not what it sounds like in the first day of the Yerushalmi. First day of Yerushalmi, it sounds like this is a din, fundamental din. The mechayiv here is kvod ames. Okay, inami.
Inami v'nei she'en lo mi she'isa maso.
Yeah, that already sounds more pragmatic, right? You know, we're going to low plug and create a hafka because we just don't think that practically this is going to be conducive to, you know, a proper mechubad kvura. Uparich.
Uparich v'atanya parmuti asula v'kasaka daida v'tamari v'yantiv. Ubo eno tarad lisa masa ho. So what about a case where there's no technical ability for you to do it anyway, so why would you still be bothered? Mishani, tiftar b'chol, perish b'chol shomalit.
Yeah.
Meaning it's small malit, so you can.
Okay, keep going.
Another example, v'atanya patr b'dikia shofar, eslechol emeimar b'chol v'lo v'yantiv b'tmiya. Could you postulate that would be on Chol HaMoed?
So we have again two perspectives in the Yerushalmi, whether the Eino Rashai again is due to practical. Now, even if it's due to practical considerations, it does reflect, you know, how overriding doing things properly and not taking a chance, you know, is, right? But still, it's not that fundamentally, you know, the performance of mitzvos and the state of either avel or even kvod ames, according to this view, are not incompatible. It's just more of a chumrah. We're not willing to risk, which is like kind of a shmirah halacha, as I've said in the past, we're not willing to risk that you're going to do an incomplete job, you know, or an improper job from a kavod ames or from an efficiency point of view. That in itself is significant, right? But it still is what it is, and it's not a din in the mitzvah, and it's not a din in the kavod ames or in the state of the avel and his, you know, capacity or the propriety of him being involved here. Okay, keep going.
Mekasha misefa, if it's really true that you can be tarred on Shabbos and Yantif anyway. Because we say, but the Katani b'Shabbos mevarchen alav, mezamen alav, v'chein tani nami v'Yerushalmi b'vent var murim b'chol. All the Shabbos meisov v'ochel mevarch v'onan achor v'amen.
Yep. Omari.
Depligia dadi reishu v'sefer b'Yerushalmi.
Yeah, it's also significant. Okay, keep going.
Rabbi Yisanael haya Omer de'efshar liyashvo de'vadayim daito lahachshach al tchum az yeshanu lomar de'tarad lahachshach.
Yeah, so Tosis here is saying again, if it's more pragmatic, we're worried about, even if it means that we're not willing to risk, and therefore there's an added dimension, it isn't purely pragmatic, but it's mostly pragmatic. And then, you know, but if you take the view of Kvodo Shomeis, right, then basically the whole thing is inappropriate. Okay. Keep going. Umina Yerushalmi de Mishani.
When Yerushalmi Mishani de Paji Asula de Mayri Bechola Moe, the Tarad, Lisa Mas O, Lamanu Shabachola Moe, Shayachaninos, Kishemesa Muta Lefanov.
Yep.
Kavin de Kishemuta Lefanov, Shayachaninos, Kimuta Love, Lekovro, Kimuta Lefanov Dami.
So what do you mean? What does that mean?
That being Muta Lefanov is just, it's all about whether or not It's the fun of, but the ability to have the actual burial is a reason to be like the fun of.
Yeah, so as opposed to what? What is Tosis hinting at here? That you might have thought that Yontif is what?
You might have thought Yontif is a reason for...
not to have to lessen Dini Aninos. Just like Yontif is a reason, right, to cancel, to negate Dini Avelos. So again, what Tosis is... again, we're doing a drive-by, but there's a lot of Lashonos and Rishonim, and you know, they're very relevant to all this. Right, Tosis is getting to... you know, very, very core issues. If aninus is just, you know, aninus belay, it's just a state of mind and nothing more, and it's a, you know, a level of intense avelos, and especially if it is halakhically, you know, controllable, so maybe Yom Tov is different. That's an important perspective. But Tosa is saying no. Well, the Ben Nisanel is saying no. What it depends. Aninus mishamesa muta lefanav is a practical halacha. So if you're osek b'kivura sameis, yes. And if not, not. Okay. But if you think that aninus, mishameisa muta lefanav, right, is also a state of being, a state of mind, or a state in avelus, a level of avelus, then in Ochanami, it's interesting to ask, what about Yom Tov? Okay, keep going.
V'chein epcha.
Oh, if you take it as purely pragmatic, then it goes in the other direction too. It's not, there's no counter pressure of Shabbos and Yom Tov, but you know, there's no lemaisa issue of kavura, right? Keep going. V'chein mashal b'Yerushalmi.
V'chein mashal b'Yerushalmi. Nimsar l'rabim ochel basav shosi yayin. Nimsar l'tofim.
L'ktafayim, right?
L'ktafayim. K'nimsar l'rabim.
So the one Yerushalmi says a chiddush, that the patur of basav yayin doesn't apply, it seems to say, to at least people who are no longer involved in kavur sametz. Right? Nimsar l'rabim. Somebody else is going to put it on their shoulders. But there are still two. It's not muchrach, the Yerushalmi, not 100% muchrach. Why, Asher? What could you say about this Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi seems pretty clear that there's no din of dini aninus, was the boss of a yayin anyway, once you're no longer involved in kfuras ames. What could you say? Is that Mukrach across the board? Let's say the guy's in Detroit. Okay, let's hold off on it for a second. Keep going. Val Karchach
Nimsa L'Rabim Ratzalomar Afiu L'Fanav.
Yeah.
The Isha L'Lefanav Tebeklei Shemiyad Halalav Avelus Misha Yotzam Yipetach Pesel Bekim De Lohalav Aninos Imkein Adam She'enu Yochol Likbor Fine.
Lekvar
meso kagon adam shemes bebeis haisurim.
Beis
haisurim. Ein hamoshel manichol lekovro nirash ein chayav lenagva aninos shari ein zem mutal alav lekovro.
So Tosas is now expanding, right? Now nason le laacher nimsal rabim is one case, right? That means there is going to be. That means he was involved in the kavura. Right, he did his part, meaning he carried the mace so far, or he was osek betapel the mace so far, and now he hands it over to other people. That's one case. Right, the second case is a case where there's not going to be any kvura, or at least not now, because the person died in jail, and they're not releasing the body. Right, like a Amram Rundberg type of a case. Right? That's a second case. Right? A third case will be what?
Third case is where you
a burial is going to take place. He didn't. He wasn't involved. Kihuze, right? Because he wasn't capable of being involved. He was in Detroit. Nobody here from Detroit, right? Anybody from Detroit? Yeah. Okay, go. Yeah. Go ahead. Mipnei. That's the jail case.
Yeah.
Kinitanya.
Okay.
Oh, very interesting case. does Avelus begin, again, we're not going to go into too many details more, but does Avelus begin in a case where there's no burial and they're holding up burial, as opposed to Nisyashu Milikovro, right? When we know there will never be a burial. Or you hand it over to the next party, you know, and they're continuing with the Kvura, but this is a big Shaila here, you know. When people flee, we do a lot of Kvura in Eretz Yisrael, so the people who don't go with the body, and they go to the airport, and once they turn around and they head back home, we say that's when the Avelus, we'll talk about it more, but that's when the Avelus begins for those people.
Like a third start for Avelus.
What's that?
Like Stima Tagolel, and also this.
Yeah, so the question is, what really triggers, and we'll see that obviously this could also depend on the Rambam and Ramban considerations, which we'll talk about. There's both a technical question here and a more bigger conceptual question, namely, do you really need Kvura to trigger Avelus, or is it this that, you know, involvement in Kvura delays Avelus? That's, you know, connected to the Rambam and Ramban question, as we'll discuss. Another question is, you know, is it, how do you define Asik B'Kvura? Right, and a kiyum in kvura. Let's say you know, you're not involved till they put the body in the ground, but you were involved in the beginning. Is that called, you know, asik b'kvura samek? What, there won't be a funeral, or there's not going to be a funeral now. There's nisyashu milakavro. Where do you draw the line? As you can see, the machlokas are rishonim regarding these issues. Okay, go ahead. Tosis here is assuming across the board that with regard to Aninus, that it's all pragmatic. There are no differences. Right? Ben?
Moshe Gama Vilas Enochayev Lodamile Nisyashim Lakovro Shisham Enochovro Su. Valacha Dain Humitsape Myokolas Os Pshara Mamosha Lanichol Lakovro.
Yeah. Okay, Maisa Rav Elazar Rav Shimon.
The period.
Now comes the famous Maisa with Rabbeinu Tam. The Maisa Shemesa Achoso.
He was in Detroit. So that's one point. And then Tos adds,
so there are, but Tosas doesn't know exactly where. I always like, you know, your heart always flutters, you know, when you read this Tosas. You know, Ben Tom's sister. Anyways, so the Tosas in this topic, what if Ben Tom had been in the city, right, and he could have been involved, but the husband is still the lead, you know, in charge. Okay. So the whole part of the end here, you have to look at the different Balei Tosas and Rishonim, but obviously the you know, big chunk in the end here of Tosas, the pragmatic part of Misha Nesa Muta Lefanav, you know, is accentuated. So is that mostly with regard to Basar V'Yayin? Right, or again, even going back to mitzvahs. Clearly the beginning part of the Tosas is about even mitzvahs. So again, are you going to be mechalik between tefillah, tefillin, kriyashma, shar mitzvos, basar v'yayin? Basar v'yayin are together, right? Or not? The Ra'ah, by the way, disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. The Ra'ah in Brachos. Anybody see it?
Yeah.
You get a chance? You saw?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think he says... Have to stop it. The lav davka v'sha'ozek, ala fil yoshev v'batel pater, zeu kvoto shalmei, stop her?
Yeah.
Zeu kvoto shalmei, shul yasiach daidu menu l'inyanim acherim, kol zman shal nekbar. Whether or not it's upon you, and then later he says, elgach afilu v'sha'ena meis muta alav l'kobro klal, kagon achoso nesua, shi mutal salbayla, av zeu pater, shu zeu kvoto shalmei, shakol shu chay v'avilusa, afilu min derabanan, kagon achoso nesua, shi mutal salbayla,
Oh, so that's the Ra'ah against Rabbeinu Tam. Even Rabbeinu Tam, we're not sure exactly where to draw the line. The Ramban also implies that the din of Basar V'Yayin is not just a pragmatic element. How do we know that in the Ramban? I'm not sure if you had a chance to read all the Rambans yet. So you were raising your hand because you wanted to volunteer that piece of information? Or also? Okay, so how do we know from the Ramban?
The Ramban says that
What do you mean you have to refrain? In Aninos?
Yeah.
What does it say specifically, though, about Basar Yayin at one point? Do you see it? You may not have gotten through those pieces yet. I don't know. Okay, but he specifically invokes, what I have in mind is something more, a little more specific. He specifically invokes, anybody see it or not? Basar Yayin, to prove at one point that Aninos is more chomor than Avelos. I mean, just as we'll see that, in my opinion, that the Rambam's shita is not as straightforward as people sometimes think, so too, in my opinion, the Rambam's shita is not as straightforward. In other words, the Rambam's shita, that there's a clear division between Avelus and Aninus, mostly that's true, is not as clear as people think. And the Rambam's view that there's a tremendous overlap between the two is also not as simplistic as people think. So at one point, the Ramban wants to, says, Aninus l'chud, Bavelus l'chud, and he wants to bring around, again, we'll quote my time is almost up for now, but we'll quote the text, hopefully tomorrow, if we're able to get it in. But the Ramban, when he wants to prove that Aninus is sometimes more chomor than Avelus, quotes Basar V'Yayin. According to the pragmatic view that Basar V'Yayin is just tirdas, kvuras, hames, it doesn't prove anything about the emotional or spiritual or existential, chomer of Aninos over Avelos. Right? So the Ra'ah, again, what does the Ra'ah have in mind? Is the Ra'ah telling us, about, Hesach Hadas and Kabbat Ames only? Both, in other words, the level of kavanah required properly for these mitzvos, and the kavod ames, you shouldn't be able to concentrate fully and to muster the proper level of kavanah, bizman shemisam meishemesam motalafanav, even if pragmatically you're not the one who's in charge or even who's doing it. Or is the ra'ah, like that line in the Ramban, basically saying, it's a shiur in not. It's not just Hesach Hadas, and it's not just whatever. It's a shiur in. It's a stage in the Avelus. Yeah, you had a question also. Yeah.
I'm just curious why Tosfos doesn't want to, question the proof of a story from Rabbi Tam, because it is his married sister. Maybe that means it's not such a good proof. But that's really his opinion.
What do you mean? Say again.
Meaning that if it had been someone who it would be stronger form of Avelus, like his, let's say, his brother or parent, then the fact that he decides, okay, well, that person has, his sons are...
Oh, I mean, you're saying like this. You're saying there should be another factor here. Not only is the husband... you'll tell me if this is what you're saying. Not only the husband in charge of the kvura, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam, certainly when he's in Detroit, and even when he's, right next to the living next to the funeral parlor, perhaps. It doesn't matter because it's not his chiyuv. So why does Rabbeinu Tam? Why does Tosis think that, that's the point? Maybe the real point is that it's not considered sufficiently, even on the level of pure aninus ve'avelus, because it's achoso hanesuah. I mean, achoso hanesuah, there's still a din of avelus. But for example, there'd be no din of tumas meis, right? So I think it's a good hara. Obviously, Rabbeinu Tam, that's not what he said, but you're right. That would have been another place to draw the line. Do we find, since we find in kvuras and in tumas meis for Lekohen, that there is such a difference? So maybe huadin, that would have been another way to distinguish. Good hara. Okay. So I'm just going to sum up for the moment. So what do we have? What we've started to do, just very quickly, is to point out that there are differences between Aninus and Avelus. That basically, there could be, broadly speaking, there could be three or four, different approaches to them. And they also don't have to be b'chad amachta. In other words, we could say that, Aninus is the height, and Avelus is, the next level, and so on and so forth. And that would explain some of the chumers of Aninus, and certainly the kulas of Avelus, to the extent that they exist. There also appear to be some chumras of avelas that isn't consistent with that. What we'd have to say about that is that really they should, either they're not chumras, but really what we'd have to say, what would make sense to say, is that while aninus is more chamur l'inyan avelos, there's a wild card factor that, you know, gives some, that neutralizes some of the obligations, you know, implying, you know, that the situation is more complicated, but it really isn't, and that is the din of Asek Bekfuras Hames. And certainly one perspective, one presentation in the Ramban, as we'll see, definitely points in that direction. In other words, if you want to say that per se Aninus is always more chamor, so how come there isn't Lila Sasandal Fia Samita Atifa Sarosh? Right? The answer would be because they interfere also with Kvura Sames. But really there is this hierarchy and it just works in that way. A second way to explain some of the discrepancies is to say, is to throw in another factor, which is both Lahakel and Lahakmir in some cases, and that is Einaninus Ella Blave, right? The emotional side of Aninus, is allowed to be expressed. A third perspective is that Aninus and Avelus, right, it's not, one more Kal, one more Chamor, it's not a straight linear hierarchy, but, you know, in the messiness of, you know, both human emotions and in the grandeur of halakhic life, you know, there are sometimes, you know, step forward that are also steps backward, or, you know, complications about kind of adjusting different aspects of life. You know, not everything moves forward, you know, at the same time. And also, that's number one. And not only that, but sometimes, even in terms of the intensity of halakha kabelos, you know, different stages can trigger, you know, different intensities. And according to that perspective, Misha Meso Mutal Lefanav is an existential state. You know, it means that this is what he's dealing with right now. And, you know, that's both soothing, gives him something to do and to focus on, you know, and also, you know, paralyzing and devastating. And la'achar kvura, right, there's a, you know, a different level of paralysis and devastation, and also the beginnings of moving on. And therefore, what you're going to get is much more complicated. You're going to get different expressions, you know, of intensity for the different stages. And you're not going to get just this straightforward hierarchy. Okay, so in terms of what we've seen so far, the Kodshim Aisusheni Psulavoda, that's one whole issue. And there we have to figure out, you know, whether it's rooted in Hilchas Avelus or rooted in the other Dinim and the Kodshim aspects themselves. In terms of Achrisa Ki Yomar and Einaninu Selet Belev, right, we have the Haruge Bezdin, right, and we don't know whether that's a kula or a umrah or just something different. Then we have the sugyas in brachos, and with regard to kriyashma, tefila, tefillin, we have the Mishnah seemingly spelling them out individually, being mefaret, singling them out, and then you have mikol mitzvos amuras batorah. We don't know whether these are 1, 2, 3, or 4. Either way, we have machlokas harishonim, whether, you know, it's connected to the regular din of tirdas avel, like Rashi, and it's a heter, or it's also an isur, and whether it's based on, you know, something like yimei chayecha, and so on, or kavod hames, or the actual pragmatic element of esek bikvuras hames. Also, what does esek bikvuras hames mean, both in terms of Nisyash, Milikavro, where there's not going to be a Kfura anytime soon. He was Osek, but his Asek part ended now. He's out of town. Right, Yitzi's raising another question, maybe what level of Avelus we're speaking about. So again, what we've seen is that there's a huge Machlokas HaRishonim. Some Rishonim are very, very pragmatic about Esek Hames. Again, that would also be an explanation why the other Kovrim are part of the same Mishnah. Others think that even when there's no actual Isa Kameh, the Ra'ad, the Ramban, even then, right, we have some of these dinim. I would suggest, I have suggested, that even if it does depend pragmatically on Kvuras Hameis and Tipul, but Kvuras Hameis, instead of only seeing this pragmatically as Tosas seems to, you might also see this as part of the state of Avelus. As long as you're actually involved in Kvuras Hameis, so you're also in a certain state of relating to the Meis and relating to your own Avel, both in terms of Kvod Hameis and the Avel of the Chai, in a different fashion. Okay. And therefore, again, where you draw the line would be important. These are the issues that we've seen so far. I want to document them a little more, but mostly you might be mechalik between basar v'yayin on the one hand and mitzvos on the other, just like you might be mechalik within mitzvos. I want to investigate just a little bit further. I'm already past 1 o'clock. I was expecting like thunderbolts or like Barad, maybe, like, you know, what?
The snow day.
Yeah, maybe. So, but I want to investigate a little. What'd you say? I didn't hear.
I said we should have to end before the sheer snowball. Rebbe's invited.
Sheer snowball.
Oh, okay, great. I don't see how I could pass that up. That's before or after we build the snowman, though. Okay, so the possibility of being mechalek between tefillin, tefillah, tefillah, etc., etc. So just also, there's a big debate. You should just be aware about havdalah. I want to just, you know, just get that in quickly. That's the discussion of the Rush and tefillah. As well in the Yoreday in Shochanah, I gave you those makaros, right? The Shach, the Taz, the Norbi Huda and Dagum Barbava, just to highlight, you know, again, Hafka, a Ptur, it also rests a little bit on how you understand Tashlumin in these cases, but in the context of Aninus. Certainly, whatever you say about mitzvos, you could say that Basar V'yayin, you know, is not necessarily an expression of, you know, existential, you know, Avel, etc. Maybe that really is more about simple distraction and Esa Kameis, but even then, as we know, there is a big machlokas Rishon. So I want to finish up that part, and then we want to discuss specifically Tashmish Hamita and the Minyan of Avelus, Shivas Yomim, beginning not with the Aninus, but with the Kavura. Again, the issues of the Rambam and Ramban, Atifas Harosh, Kviyas Hamita, Ni'ilas Hasandal, Kvius Yorsite, you know, also is that Mishas Kvura or Mishas Misa? I want to discuss those things very, very briefly, and then see how that fits into the three readings of our Gemara, the Rambam, Ramban, and the Ritva, and then a few other little things, you know, that come up along the way. There was a question before we go to the snow. Yeah? Okay, so hopefully, again, weather permitting, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then we'll just see. If not, then we'll just do, you know, a much longer shir. But let's just finish these makoros as quickly as we can. Maybe we'll just have a longer shir to do it. But we know what direction we're going. Yeah, if we could have another grip. So I have to write down cards.